Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning as we meet together to worship God, consider His Word, and as we are talking about the office of elders and deacons and the selection of those men, our consideration of them. Want to continue that this morning. Our brother Larry Robbins will be preaching tonight, also continuing in that, and we're just kind of presenting different ideas and areas that we need to consider as we look at the office of elders and deacons and the selection of those men. And it's that selection that I want to talk about this morning. When we're actually in the process, when a man is put forward as desiring the office of either elder or deacon, what do we do? What do we consider? What should we consider? What is it that goes through our mind? A lot of us have been through this before, perhaps maybe some haven't, but there are a lot of things that go through your mind as you're considering these things. And confidence is one of those things that we're looking at. When we're considering someone for the office of elder and deacon, we want to have confidence in them. Confidence is important for the men who take on the task of leadership and service within the local congregation. And that's true with anyone, with any task, whether it be a leader, whether it be a servant. You want to have confidence that the person being considered can actually perform the task at hand. And it's no different with elders and deacons. It's necessary to have this confidence in these men in order for them to effectively perform their job. Imagine, and I'm sure you've had coworkers, bosses, people who are subordinates to you, perhaps, or in some way or shape or form. If you don't have confidence in them, what's always going through your mind? What are they doing? What are they thinking? Second-guessing them. You're looking over their shoulder. And people can't effectively do their job that way. Perhaps we've been the person who that confidence has not been shown in. And isn't it difficult when that's the case for us to perform the task that has been given to us? I think we all understand that. So as we potentially consider examining some of the men of this congregation who desire to serve as an elder and deacon, which we will be doing, an examination of our confidence in these men is something that we will be considering as a natural part of this. And so that's what I want to talk with you about this morning. Our confidence in the selection of these men, our confidence in them as we consider that. And the first thing is that we know that we need to be confident in their qualifications. This is absolutely essential. Absolutely essential that the man being considered meet the scriptural qualifications. It's absolutely essential because God told us what kind of man He wants fulfilling or taking on the task or the office of being an elder or being a deacon. He didn't leave it for us to guess. He didn't leave it for us to somehow come to us in some mystical way. God has set forth these qualifications within Scripture. In 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 12, and in Titus 1, 5 through 9, those qualifications are outlined for those two offices. And I'd like to take a little bit of time and examine those because that is important. And you'll probably be hearing them throughout this month as we talk about that. And we can't look at them too much because these are the qualities with these men that we're going to be looking at. In 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7, Paul, in writing with Timothy, talks about the elders and what that man should look like. Beginning in verse 1, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop must then be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in subjection with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest he be puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And then Paul, in writing to Titus, also outlines these qualifications. He says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I command you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast to the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both exhort and convict those who contradict." And so that's the picture. That's who God, through inspired men, wrote and told us this is what an elder should look like. This is the type of man that should be taking on this task. For a deacon, in 1 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 12, Paul writes, "Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, and then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well." And so these are the qualifications that are outlined. That's kind of a combined list, if you will, of these qualifications as we look at that. And these are the things that we're going to be considering. And you look at that and you go, wow, that's a lot. But this is the picture of a man, the description of the person who is qualified. And it is essential that the men being chosen, that when the men we are considering, that we consider the man and view, do they meet these qualifications? Now, admittedly, most of these qualifications are subjective in nature, and as such require us to form some kind of an opinion as to whether a man meets or doesn't meet that qualification. I mean, let's look at these. Look at these again. I mean, when you look at this, at this list here, I mean, you can look and you say, well, you know, a man is either the husband of one wife or he's not. A man either has faithful children or he doesn't. There's other subjective things. Gentle. Well, how gentle is gentle? A lover of good. Just. Not greedy. Not violent. And we can go on and on and on, and some of these subjections. But even the ones I talked about, husband of one wife, having faithful children, ruling his own household well, there's a subjective one. But even the ones that we consider more objective, aren't there people that have differing ideas about what that is? And I just say that so that we recognize that that fact is out there. That when we consider these men as a group, understand that a lot of these qualifications are, in fact, subjective in nature. And as such, people form different opinions. And when we look at these things and we examine those qualifications, we need to do so prayerfully. We need to do so and go to God, ask for His guidance, consider these qualifications, look within the scriptures, and take a serious look, and as much as we can, put everything else aside and try to consider whether these men meet the qualifications that we examine. Because, again, it is necessary that we have confidence that they meet those qualifications, because that's what God has outlined. Now, it's even possible and even likely, and again, this is kind of a rhetorical statement because we all know this, that some will feel that a man meets the qualifications while others do not. That can happen. That has happened. And may I say and predict that maybe, probably, and I say probably, will happen, because they're subjective in nature. And we need to recognize that what we feel maybe not is not what someone else feels. So our opinion of a situation may not be another's opinion of a man and whether they meet those qualifications. So we must consider and examine why we have come to the conclusion as to whether a man is qualified or not. And that takes a lot of self-examination, where we look within ourselves and we say, why did I come to that conclusion? I say, yes, they meet those qualifications. Why did I come to that conclusion? I say, no, I think he doesn't meet this qualification here. Examine, why did I come to that conclusion? Because there can be many reasons why a person does not, why a person comes to those conclusions. It could be the fact that the man is indeed qualified, or the man is indeed not qualified. That could be the reason. I've come to that conclusion because I'm right. They're not qualified. I've come to that conclusion because, yes, they are qualified and they do meet those qualifications. That could be the reason. Self-examination. It could be that our past history with them, whether it be good or bad, will weigh into our opinion. I'm not saying that's wrong, because there could be some things that are relevant to the qualifications in our past history with them. But how past is it? A lot of things we have to examine. It could be our family connections with the person. Now, that could cut both ways. Now, you say, well, that's my blood. I can't go against my blood. Loyalty and all those other things. But, you know, not all families are knit together. And so it could be that you have a grudge against your brother or your cousin or your in-law or whatever it may be that colors your opinion about whether they're qualified or not. So family connections can play a role in whether or not we feel a person is qualified or not. Could be a personality, whether we get along with them or not, or whether we conflict with them on different issues. I just have a hard time talking to that person, and so that colors the way we think of them. Or I think they're great. We're tight. We get along great, and that would also color us. Whether we agree with them or disagree with them on a particular issue. Well, I can't support a man who thinks that way. Or they think the way I do on this issue, and therefore, good. They're qualified. Again, these are just things that go through our minds. Real things that we have to deal with when we are going through the selection process and considering whether or not these men meet the qualifications or not. And we just need to be aware of them so that we are, as much as we possibly can, examining a man based upon the scriptures and not some other thing that gets in the way of that. So self-examination is absolutely necessary. Now, this can be very stressful, especially when you feel that, or you have questions about a man's qualification. It can be stressful. I mean, I was stressed out just doing this lesson to talk to you about these things. the selection process, and one reason is because, you know, the office is given a lot of importance within the Scripture. There's a lot of qualifications saying, you know, we need a man to be this way, and so we want to be careful that we're doing that. But when we question a man's qualifications, I just don't know if they're not qualified or they're not qualified, and then it comes time for us to express that, that can be very stressful. That can also color the way that we express whether or not they're qualified or not and color our opinion. Again, we just need to be aware of these things as we go through and consider what is a man, whether or not we have the confidence in their qualifications. And we should examine that. And we should look within ourselves. And we should go to our God in prayer. Because there may and most likely will be questions that we want answered or that we need to consider with these things. Well, when we're looking at men and their qualifications, we also need to examine their ability to actually perform the task at hand. And that's with, again, anything in life that we look at. Is that person that I'm going to give that task to able to perform that task? Consider me, if you will, some of the cases in Acts 1. If you'll remember, the 120 people were in that upper room, and they were considering who they should put within the office of an apostle to replace Judas. That's what they were considering. And they put forth some qualifications of the man that needed to be, that wanted to be looked at. And out of the 120 people there, they put up two men. Now, were there more that met those qualifications that were there? I don't know. I mean, out of 120 people, it's very possible that there were only two men that met those qualifications. But let's look at Acts 6. What's happening in Acts 6? Again, people are being chosen to fulfill a certain task. Now, whether that's the officer of a deacon or not, I don't know. Some people think it is, others don't. But that's not my point. My point is that they're being looked at to perform a particular function, a particular task. And the apostles outlined, this is what these men should look like. And how many men were chosen? How many men were put forward for consideration of the apostles? 7. Out of how many? Well, in Acts 4, we're told that there were 5,000 members. In Acts 5, after it talks about the 5,000, it's talking about the church growing and numbers continually being added. And so there were at least 5,000 members. And so statistically speaking, it's extremely possible that there were more than 7 men that met these qualifications, and yet they chose these 7. They chose these 7. So what's my point? What's my point in that? It's when you're unsure, an examination of the qualifications first. An examination of the qualifications. When you're looking at that and you're unsure about it, maybe an examination of their ability to do their job is in order. Because a man meeting the scriptural qualifications does not mean that the congregation or even we as individuals will automatically express confidence in that man's ability to perform the task. I mean, we go through the checklist and we check it, and then we get to the end and we go, but I just don't know if they're able to perform the task. That happens in real life. Consider a job application, and I'm not comparing elders and deacons to an employee. Please don't look at that, or management, which we'll get to a little later. But consider when you're applying for a job. They give all these qualifications. And if you've ever been in a hiring process, you look at all these applications and you go, they're qualified, they're qualified, they're qualified, they're qualified. And then you talk to them, and there's just something about them that you just say, I don't know if they can do the job. That happens sometimes after you hire them. They've got all the, they met the checklist, but I just don't know if they're able to perform the job. That's very possible. And again, there could be a lot of different reasons for our feeling that way. A lot of different reasons. It could be, you know, they're the way they approach people, the way they don't approach people, the way, and other things that we can just go on and on. There's something maybe that's there that even though they meet the qualifications, I just don't feel comfortable that they can perform the task. It's something we need to consider. It is something that we need to consider, that we need to have confidence that they can perform the task. Well, the person being considered, as well as those who are considering a man for the position of elder or deacon, should seriously think about accepting the confidence level of others. I just don't feel confident that that man can perform the task. I don't know. But then all the people around me, and again, I'm exaggerating, say, I think they can. Does that situation, if that occurs, make us take a moment of pause and say, is that something I should consider? If all these other people are saying, I have confidence in their ability, but I have questions, should I consider their confidence level? I put to you this morning, I believe, yes, that's something we should consider. Because of all those other things we talked about before that can get in the way. All those other things, you know, with family connections and personalities and all the other things that are talked about. Need to accept the confidence level of the congregation. What if you're the person being considered? What if you're the man being considered for an elder and deacon, and you go through and you prayerfully study these things and you say, yes, I believe I meet those qualifications. Yes, I feel I'm a man who's up and have the ability to perform that task. And then you're being considered, and that confidence level does not come back to you from the people of whom you will be serving. That's something that should be seriously taken into consideration. Because confidence in the person performing the task is absolutely essential for them to be effective in performing that task. And it's not something we should take personal. It's not something that we should... And how hard is it not to do that? But we should take it as finding out why. What can I do if I'm in that situation and I desire the office, but that confidence level is not coming back to me? What can I do to improve that? And then work on that if you desire the office. But we need to consider the confidence level of all the others around us. Are they able to perform the task? And even when we're looking at qualifications, if others express so much confidence that these men are qualified and we're still holding back, and there may be more than one, there may be more than us, but the congregation as a whole expresses confidence in their qualifications, that should give us pause. That should make us say, huh, maybe I better go back and look at that. Maybe I should examine that a little more. Because we're not perfect. We can make mistakes. We all have things that get in the way of our thinking. That's just life. That's just the way we operate. And it's something that we need to be aware of and something that we need to look at. And so considering one another, giving preference to one another in brotherly love, as is talked about in Romans 12 and verse 10. Looking and honoring one another and giving preference to one another, and not just saying, well, those people don't know what they're talking about. Now, it could be that we have some kind of special knowledge that others don't have. That's entirely possible. There could be something that we are looking at, it's just not out there. But we have a special knowledge about the person that would disqualify them or shake the confidence. That's possible. That's very possible. But what would we do if we feel that a man is qualified and the congregation does not express that same confidence? What are we going to do? We say, yes, they are qualified. But then the congregation says, I don't think so. Are we going to bow up and say, what are they thinking? Or are we going to give preference to one another? Conversely, what do we do if the congregation expresses confidence in the man being considered, but we're not so sure of their ability or qualifications? Again, we need to examine those things and look at that. Here's the thing we need to remember. This, elders and deacons are being given a task of service. Now, a lot of people liken elders and deacons to a management, supervisory role because there's some leadership thing involved. Please, put that out of your minds. Elders are not management. Elders are not our bosses. Elders are servants. Deacons are servants. And they're there and placed there to help the congregation, to help watch the congregation, to serve the congregation as best as they can, given the tasks and performing the tasks given to them by Scripture. That's who they are. And so if we're saying, well, I just have a problem with that person being over me. They're not your boss. They are servants of the congregation performing a task that God has given them. That's what we are considering these men for. Now, is there some leadership involved in this? Yes. Are there people who are servants who take the lead in getting some things done? Yes. But again, elders are not management and deacons are not supervisors. They are servants. They are servants. That is the task that we are considering them for. So please keep that in mind as we look at these things. Keep pushing the wrong button. Finally, I'd like to look at our confidence in our ability to work with them. Confidence in our ability to work with them. That's something we need to examine. And especially examine if we feel that we have some questions about that. Now, if I agree that they're qualified, and I agree, and I'm very comfortable with that person, this question here, can I work with them? What is my ability to work? That's easy. Well, yes, because I feel they meet the qualifications, and I'm very comfortable with them. Therefore, I can work with them. But the question needs to be asked, and our examination that needs to be asked when we have some questions about those qualifications. And then questions, I'm not quite sure. I feel this way, but I don't know whether they meet that qualification or not. When most all others in the congregation express their confidence in the ability and qualifications of the man being considered, perhaps the question that we need to ask is, even though I have some questions, even though I have some discomfort, can I work with and support this person as they carry out their tasks in serving the congregation as elder and deacon? That's a question we need to ask. That if we have these questions and the confidence level of the congregation seems to be or is that yes, this man is qualified, and yes, this man can perform the task, and we feel differently, or we have some questions, perhaps we need to ask that question. Can I support them in their work? And if not, why not? If not, why not? In our discomfort with men that are being considered, whatever that discomfort might be, we may tend to want to bolster our discomfort, bolster our reasons for expressing discomfort in that man. And we may come up with all kinds of things in our minds because we want to have a good reason why we feel that way. And again, it goes right back to that self-examination. What am I doing? Am I considering? Am I giving them fair opportunity? Because when we get discomfort or we have a way that we feel, we tend to want to find reasons to justify the way that we feel. Now, we may be absolutely 100% correct, or we may not. But we need to examine ourselves, and we need to take the confidence level of the congregation into account. And that is for the man being considered, as well as we as individuals who are considering the man. Now, saying yes to this question when we have discomfort, that takes a lot of humility. That takes a lot of humility to say, you know, I may be wrong. And considering my brethren, I may be wrong. I have some questions, but you know what? I can support them as they look at it. That takes a lot of humility to do that. Something we need to examine. Finally, if we come to the conclusion that we can't support them, then we need to ask why. Any decision you come to, whether we say, you know, I can't support them, or if you say, yes, I 100% support them, stop and say, why did I come to that decision? Just don't form the opinion and then go on. Stop and prayerfully examine that position. Discover why you feel that way. Again, this is something we want to choose men that look the way God intended them to be. We want to choose men who are qualified. But in that process, there are a lot of things that we need to consider. And we have questions about those things. There are other things that we need to consider. And especially an examination of ourselves, whether we feel positively or negatively about why we feel that way. Because our positive feeling may be swayed by something that has nothing to do with the qualifications, as well as that negative feeling. So we need to ask ourselves why and take our brethren into consideration. In our service to God within this congregation, I'm confident that we want to have elders and deacons that are qualified. Elders and deacons that can perform the task and serve the congregation in a way that God would be pleased. I'm confident in that. And as we go through this process and men are put forward to us as a congregation to consider, please consider them prayerfully. Please ask yourself why. Please consider one another as we do this. I'm confident that if we do this, we will have men serve in this office that look the way that God wants to, that this congregation will prosper. I'm confident that we want this. We want qualified elders and deacons. I'm confident that we're committed to loving one another and giving preference to one another, as is outlined in Romans 12 and verse 10. I'm also confident that we all want this because I know that serving God and doing his will in this and all other matters is something to which all of us here at Rosedale are absolutely committed. So as we consider these men, please keep these things in mind. Please consider them thoughtfully, prayerfully, and with self-examination, giving preference to one another. I think in that way we will be very successful as we look at men as they present themselves to be considered for the office of elder and deacon. Confidence in them is absolutely essential. One thing that we can all be confident in is that our God loves us. We can be confident that he loves us because he sent his son to die for us. That we could all be sitting here enjoying the knowledge, knowing that our sins are forgiven. We can have confidence in that. But sometimes that confidence that we are one of God's children is shaken because we've abandoned him. Our confidence that we have a home in heaven is not there because we have not decided to become one of God's children. But that confidence can be there. That confidence that we have a home in heaven, that we can be with our God forever at the end of this life, that we can enjoy eternal life, that can be yours this morning. And if you do not have this confidence, I invite you to obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent of the sins that you've committed. Confess his name before us and be baptized into his church. Become a child of God who will enjoy the forgiveness of sins and the hope and confidence of a home in heaven. If you find yourself here this morning as a child of God and you've gone astray, and you say, I'm not confident in that anymore. Again, that confidence can be yours. Whatever your need is this morning, we invite you to leave here this morning confident that you're a child of God and on your way to heaven. We invite you to do that today as we stand and sing. Richard, thank you.